Before we start, what?
Oh wow, it's weird.
I missed it.
Before we start on the Hilchot Purim, let's talk a little bit about Mitzvah Zachor, Shabbat Zachor, coming up in less than 2 days. There you go. Parsha is found in Devarim Chaf Hei, Parsha Kitetze. And the reason why we say it close to Purim, Rashi explains, it's quoted by the Magen Avraham, the Aruch HaShulchan, it's because Haman came from Agag. Right? The Masorah that Chazal say that Haman was from Amalek. And therefore, we basically makayim the mitzvah of Zachor adjacent to Purim. But the truth of the matter is, Mikra Din, the mitzvah deraita, and it is a mitzvah deraita min astam, the mitzvah deraita could be makayim any time during the year, once a year. Now, Gemara Brachos Mem Gimel is mashma that's the deraita, at least most Rishonim Medaik, the Tosus Rosh, Trumas Adeshen, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's a mitzvah deraita. What's an afkamina if it's deraita the Rabbanon? An afkamina is if a person's a sofek, if he wasn't sure whether he was yotze the mitzvah, so if it's a deraita, so you have to go ahead and try to be yotze it again, to redo it in order to make sure that you were yotze. And the Ravid has an incredible chiddush. And he holds that the Zechira, no, it's too big of a Chiddush, I'm going to skip it. It's too hard to understand. It's a huge Chiddush. But we'll move on. Anyway, so if a person didn't hear part of Shabbat Zachor, what does he do? So the Magen Avraham says, you could always be Yotzei in the parasha of Bishalach of Vayavo Amalek, while the Aruch HaShulchan Mishabura Cholek, and they hold no, that the only parsha that you could be Yotze the Mishnah Zachor is Parshat Zachor in Parshat Kitetze. Okay? The Gro was noheg to specifically read it on his own, rather than just hear it from the Baal Koreh, because he felt that there might be an inyan of Zechira Befeh. Quite often when the Torah says Zachor, it's a Zechira Befeh, and therefore he felt Mitzvah Bo Yotze Mi Mishlucho, to mechaim it himself, and therefore he dafka tried to read it. But again, mikra din, you could be yotze with shmia. Now, lichadchila, a person should have kavanah to be yotze. Okay, on the araita, we hold Mrs. Tzrichos kavanah lichadchila, and therefore the listener should realize that he's being mechaim a mitzvah the araita of zechira. And if he just happens to be in shul at the time, lichachil, it's not the best thing. B'di'evad, you are yotze. Okay, so lichachil, you should be mechaven. I now want to be mechaven, Mr. Deraita of Zechirat Parshat Amalek. And the Baal Kori himself should also, therefore, have kavana to be motzi everybody. If for some reason a person, I don't know, he was out of shul at the time. He didn't hear the Baal Kori read. So a person can also go up and read it from a Sefer Torah on his own. You don't need Dafka Minyan to be Yotze. You could read it with a Sefer Torah. What if you don't have a Sefer Torah? So, but the Eved, you could be Yotze also, at least according to, according to the Kaf HaChaim, you could be Yotze even reading it from a Chumash. What about women and Zechirat Amalek? Or Zechirat Mitzvah Mechikat Amalek? So, according to the Sefer Chinuch, women are patur because the mitzvah is dependent on those that are darkam la'asot milchama, and since it's not a derech of a woman to go to war, so the Sefer Chinuch felt that they were peturot. The Chazon Ish and many others point out that when it comes to mechemet mitzvah, what would be an example of mechemet mitzvah?
Defense.
Defending a Jew anywhere would be a mechemet mitzvah. Okay? And mechikat amalek is a mechemet mitzvah. When it comes to a mechemet mitzvah, afilu kala yotzeit mitachat chupata, the Gemara says. That even a kala leaves her chupa in order to fight. So you see exactly opposite of the chinuch. You see that true, that it isn't the derech of women to make milchama, but when it comes to mechikat amalek, there definitely is a mitzvah. Okay, and that's why lemaisa women are noheg to be makbid on parashat Zachor. Okay, any questions so far? Yes, Ezra. No, you could hear the parsha.
But if the mitzvah isn't to hear it, is it?
So what? So you hear it and you understand it, and you know.
So then you have intention.
Not to be mekayem the mitzvah of zechira.
But isn't the mitzvah to have intention?
The mitzvah is to remind yourself.
So you either did it or you didn't.
All right.
You can't have done it without intention.
You're right. You're right or you're wrong. Yeah.
Two things. Why weren't we Yotzei this mitzvah when we read Kitetze?
You might have been Yotzei.
Okay, and two, why of the mitzvahs that have to do with Zechira, why is it only this one that we say that, like, we don't have a mitzvah of, like, really remembering Shabbos once a week or once a year, like we say Zachor, but, like, we don't say, like, oh, if you missed Parshas B'Shalach, then you weren't Mekayim Mitzvah D'Oraisa of remembering Shabbos. Like, why is it that Mechikat Amalek is...
The mitzvah of Shabbos is to say, today is Shabbos. That's the mitzvah. To remind yourself, today is Shabbos.
Miriam or something like that. Like, of the other sheishes here, why this one has a
special... I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Yes, sir. Lo shomea. Lichatchila, the reader should have kavanah to be motziyu. Lichatchila. And the man in shuls, many shuls, they'll give a clap before the aliyah and say everybody should be mechavim to be out to the mitzvah. There's some shuls that even when it's not, you know, Shabbat Zachor, meaning they're just reading Kitetze, they say, if anybody missed Shabbat Zachor, you can have Kavanah now to be Yotzei. Yes, Zach?
You have to stand.
No. Yes?
If you miss hearing Zachor, should you wait to hear in Kitetze, or should you immediately go and read it yourself?
Again?
If you miss hearing Zachor,
That's a good question. I think either one is good. Personally, I would read it myself. But I think either one is good. Okay. After that, we have Parshat Parah. Shabbat Parshat Parah, right? The reason why we read the Parshat Parah is it's a minhag in order to remind people when the Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. And we're going to be able to be mitar ourselves in order to bring the Korban Pesach. So we want to have enough time beforehand to be mitar ourselves, and that's why they read Parshat Parah. Now we get to Purim. Purim has four basic mitzvot. Megillah, Matanot Levyonim, Seudah, and Mishloach Manot. And I will take them one by one. The mitzvah of Megillah, is it Chiv D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan? Who thinks D'Oraisa? Who thinks D'Rabbanan? No one thinks D'Oraisa? Thank you. Why do you think it's D'Oraisa? The Rambam says D'Oraisa? Megillah is D'Oraisa?
I don't know.
Huh? Oh, so that's true. So every Drabbanan effectively becomes a Diraita. That's true. But the Bahag, the Balhichot Gedolot, actually counts it as one of the 613 mitzvot that God gave on Sinai. And according to Menachem Liebtag, Megillah came after Sinai. The truth is, in this case, most Rishonim agree with Menachem Liebtag that Megillah really came after Sinai, right?
So what's
the svara? What's the svara of the Baha'i to count it as one of the 613 mitzvot? Yeah,
I think the Ramban says that that Hashem, even though there wasn't really a reason for it, Hashem instituted Purim, and then the reason came later. That, like, Hashem knew it was going to happen, so there is a mitzvah d'oraisa of Purim
in order to explain it as being a d'oraita. Yeah,
is Halal d'oraita?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's halal?
So it could be. It could definitely be halal. No, the Rambam puts together Chanukah and Purim together in one, like, section, so to speak. And it could be that the common denominator of two of them is the chiyuv to give shiur v'tishbacha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there's Hatzalah of the Jews. Rav Schechter said that it's more than just a Hatzalah, right? It had to be Hatchalta de Geula. But okay, Pashtut is you're giving a shiur for Tishbacha to Kadosh Baruch Hu for a mass hatzala of the Jews. Okay, but most Rishonim, the vast majority of Rishonim, hold that it's a Derabanan, but even if it's a Derabanan, it might act as a Deraita, which we'll soon get to. Secondly, Birchot, the Bracha of the Megillah. We make an Al Mikra Megillah, right? We make a Bracha Sha'asa Nisim Lavoteinu, and we make a Bracha Shehechiyanu. And as you might have caught in Chanukah, when we spoke about the Hilchot Chanukah, Sha'asa Nisim Lavoteinu seems not to be necessarily on the Chanukiah, just like Sha'asa Nisim Lavoteinu and Shehechiyanu might not be only on the Kriyat Megillah. As Meiri points out, you might actually be saying it on the day. Alright? Not just on the Mikra Megillah, meaning Sha'asa Nisim Lavoteinu and Shehechiyanu. Nonetheless, Chazal will koveya that we make these brachot, these three brachot, before we start to read the Megillah. Okay? Interestingly enough, in the morning, even though we read it at night, the Ikka Kriya is in the morning. And therefore, there are more paskins that in the morning you should repeat Shehechiyanu another time, even though you made Shehechiyanu the night before. So a lot of Achronim point out that you should have Kavana not just for Megillah, but you should have Kavana for the day, making Shehechiyanu on the day. You should have Kavana on each individual mitzvah that you're going to be doing besides Megillah, meaning Mishloach Manot, Matanot Avyonim, and Su'udat Purim. Those three mitzvot are primarily done in the day. Okay?
Can you do them at night?
Can you do them at night? Someone told me, I haven't had a chance to check it yet, that the Mishnah Berurah mentions that you can't do Mishloach Manot at night. The Ramah says that the Su'udah is only in the day. We'll get to it. Matan Lev Yonim, I'm not sure whether you could do it. Maybe you could do it the night before. Okay. What if a person does not have a Megillah? As an example, you're a Chayal in some you're doing Shmirah somewhere, and you don't have a Megillah. Okay? And you don't even have, you have no way of being Mekayim Mikra Megillah. So the Mogen Avraham says, you still should not make Sha'asa Nisim and Shehechiyanu. The Bir Halacha just says Tzorach Iyun. According to the Meiri, maybe there'd be a tzad to say yes, but he doesn't paskin that you should. In other words, Chazal will metakin it on Mikra Megillah, so you don't make these other brachos. After we finish Mikra Megillah, we make the bracha of Harav et Rivenu. Okay? Now, the Gemara Megillah, Daf Gimel, Amud Aleph, says a very interesting or curious thing. It says there, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, V'kal V'chomer Shar Mitzvot Likrot Megillah. You mevatel Talmud Torah and Kal V'chomer, or why is it a Kal V'chomer other mitzvah? Talmud Torah is a mitzvah. The other mitzvah is a mitzvah. Why is it a Kal V'chomer Shar Mitzvah? What? Yeah. That's a Svara. Okay. If you want to say that, you could say that. Talmud Torah Kenegad Kulam, maybe. Pshat is very, very difficult to understand the Gemara. Why is it difficult? Because Mikra Megillah is a Derabanan. A, you can claim it's Talmud Torah, but we know it's not.
Okay, thanks.
Because it was given, the Megillah was after,
okay,
after Sinai. In other words, the Makor is Shinantam Levanecha V'Dibar V'Yu D'Vam Eilev V'Chuli V'Chuli Shinantam Levanecha V'Dibar Tabam. So we all know that it's only on Torah, Shebal Pen, Torah Shebichtav, is a Mitzvah Talmud Torah. Not Nach. Nevim Ketuvim, there's no Mitzvah Talmud Torah. Bepashtos, pshat, I'm just saying pshat. In any case, so the question is, how can you be mevatel a mitzvah d'oraita? Let's say, I don't know, you have a mitzvah d'oraita to do, like, I don't know, kibud av va'em or something like that, mitzvah d'oraita to do, and you have Megillah to do, how could you be mevatel the mitzvah d'oraita in order to do Megillah if Megillah is a mitzvah d'rabbanan?
Mitzvah overis.
Oh, so some want to say, the Ran gives that answer, that when the Gemara says it's only if it's possible to do that mitzvah later. And all the Gemara was talking about mevatlim Talmud Torah doesn't mean literally mevatlim, but rather makdimim Megillah l'Talmud Torah v'shar mitzvot. In other words, if you could do the mitzvah d'oraita later, then you're allowed to do the Megillah and then later do the mitzvah d'oraita. But in a situation that you couldn't do the mitzvah d'oraita, if you did the Megillah, according to the Ran, you couldn't go and read the Megillah. You would have to do the Mitzvah D'oraita, even at the expense of missing Mikra Megillah. And curiously enough, the Ramah Paskins like that. Because the Ramah Paskins that if by going to the Megillah, you're going to be Mevatel, a Mitzvah D'oraita, you can't, you're not allowed to. The Ramah. On the other hand, the Taz and the Gra both paskin against the Rama, and they say that even if it means at the expense of being mekayim a mitzvah in a Torah, you turn your back on the mitzvah in a Torah and you go ahead and you do mikra megillah. Why? Because it has the strength of divrei Torah. Divrei Kabbalah is equal to divrei Torah, meaning Chazal had the ability to strengthen the mitzvah megillah to be on the level of mitzvah d'oraita. And they mamish, and they matake, and it has all the hashlachot, all the repercussions of a mitzvah min haTorah. And therefore, you mamish mavatal. Hold on to your question. Another nafkamina to this super strong mitzvah d'rabbanan, or this divrei kabbalah, another nafkamina would be, what about safek? We know the rule is safek d'oraisa l'chumra, safek d'rabbanan l'kula. What if you have a safek by mikra megillah? As an example, I don't know, you dozed off for a bit and you're not sure whether you heard a word or not. Do you have to read the whole Megillah again or not? So the halacha is Safek Deraisa L'Chumra. I'm sorry, this might be an emergency. Hello? Baruch Hashem, the problem is I'm in the middle of a shiur. Could you call me in like a half an hour? I'll take care of it as soon as possible. Okay. Okay. All right. Right, so let's say you have a suffix, so you normally say suffix to write to the Chumrah. Or, what if you're in a situation where you're a suffix, whether you should read it on Yudalot or Tetvav? You're in a city, and you're not sure whether that city had a wall around the times of Yeshua ben Nun or not. So if it had a wall around the time of Yeshua ben Nun, you read on Tetvav. If not, you read on Yudalot. So what if you're in such a city, you don't know what to do? So according to some Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, Ritvaran, you say Lakula, and you read it on Yudalot. But according to the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, you go L'chumra and you're supposed to read it for 2 days. You know, you're supposed to make Chaim Purim twice. Okay? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, well, Mikra Megillah. L'chumra, you read it 2 days. That's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Yes?
So which day would you say L'chumra?
Probably the first. L'chumra. Okay, anyway, another din you have by Megillah is Barov Am Hadrat Melech, which basically means with the multitude of the nation adds to the glory of the king, meaning the more the merrier, or the more people doing a mitzvah at once, there's more cover to Hashem. As a result, everybody should go to a minyan or to a shul that has the most people in it. That's the concept of Barov Am Hadrat Melech. Even at the expense, according to the Magen Avraham, even at the expense that you're going to be Mevatel Talmud Torah. In other words, let's say the big shul is a half an hour drive, and it's going to be Mevatel a Torah for an hour. Because you're going to drive and you're going to come back. Right? The extra bittel Torah, rather than going with a little shtiebel that's right next to your house. The halacha is you're supposed to go to the larger shul. However, the Chai Adam and the Mishnah Berurah point out that obviously if you have kviut in a particular minyan, that's more important than Rov Am Hadrat Melech. Kviut of the place you normally daven is more important than Rov Am Hadrat Melech, so you should go to your regular minyan, even if it's smaller. Questions? Yes?
But wouldn't you be Mekayim the mitzvah of Rov Am Hadrat Melech for, like, if place A had 10, place B had 15, wouldn't it be better to make place A 11 and raise that one to Rov Am Hadrat Melech and the other one? Because we'd actually be helping the first wall, and the second one would just be...
I lost you.
If Shul A has 10 people and Shul B has 15 people, according to what you said, we should go to Shul B. However, if you went to Shul A, you would be making Shul A more rogue and bringing it closer to the level of Shul B. So wouldn't that be...
I don't know. You lost me. I mean, I think I know what you're saying, but... You go with the one that you know is going to have more. If you know that whichever one, A or B, is going to have more, that's where you, as a yachid, go. Yeah?
Two things. One, can you be Mekayim Kriyas Megillah with not an actual Megillah? Like a Chumash or a Tanakh?
No.
And two, for the Taz and the Gra who said that you're allowed to be Mevatel Mitzvah D'Oraisa, does that mean that you're Pater from Megillah but you can do it, or that you're Chayav to be Mevatel that Mitzvah D'Oraisa and go do the Megillah?
The Taz and the Gra hold you're Chayav to be Mevatel D'Oraisa and do the Megillah.
Right.
Yes, Zach. Sorry?
Is there something to do with Shlamek for Chicago?
No. Yes?
Does Rohan Powder not include the time?
I don't think so. It's a good question. I don't think it includes Ketanim. Ezra.
So, is this like a binding halacha where you wouldn't be in the kind of mitzvah?
No. It's a kiyum, a special kiyum, a side kiyum. If you went to the smaller places, of course you're yotzei with the Evid. For sure. Yeah. I believe it's both morning. That's an interesting question. I believe it's both. Yes?
There's the one you said that you don't have to read it on both days, and if you dozed off, it doesn't make a difference. Like, you don't have to read it again.
The Ramban. Yes?
A little similar to Kelly's question, but there's this minion that has like 200 people and a minion that has 9 people. Probably does 9 people. Should you go to the 9 people, tell them to make a minion? Or should you?
I would imagine yes. If you're the only one who can make a minion, if they're relying on you to make a minion, I guess you have to. Yes?
Is there not going against the Gemara stating that if Mevatel, I mean, you say if Mikra Megil, it says Mikra Megil is Mevatel Torah, saying that even though you might be Mevatel Torah, that you should not be Mevatel Torah, okay, you shouldn't be Mevatel Torah, you should be Megil.
I lost you.
They're not saying you should be Mevatel Torah, if you're Torah Megil.
Yeah.
But don't we say that Mikra Megil is over Talmud Torah?
Excellent question. Talmud Torah is unique. If you're not going to be fulfill the mitzvah, then you're going to be learning Talmud Torah. So what's the point in learning Talmud Torah if you're not going to climb the mitzvah? And therefore, you do the mitzvah instead of learning Talmud Torah. All right, we move on. Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim. The Gemara mentions right the basic halacha that if you come you live in a wall or you found in a city that has a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, you're supposed to be Mekayim Purim on Tetvav as opposed to Yudalit. The Gemara goes further. If you have a city that's Samuch Onira, and it's Machoket if it's Vinira or Onira, meaning if the city is close to a, let's say as an example, Yerushalayim, within a meal of Yerushalayim, or if the city, and the best explanation is, can be seen together with Yerushalayim. You know, it's seen as a metropolis of Yerushalayim. Okay? So then that city gets the din of Yerushalayim. Okay? Like Mivaseret Zion, as an example. As far as I know, they lay on Tetvav, they do all the mitzvahs of Purim on Tetvav. Because that has a din of a Samoch Venira. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach explains that the basic requirement is that this satellite city has to be mishtatif b'tzorcheir, meaning the taxes and municipal services of this small city is the same of the larger city, meaning if Mevaseret Zion has the same garbage collection, the same bus route, the same police force, etc., 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 then halachically that city takes on the din of Yerushalayim and therefore is mekayim Purim on Tetvav. What's the question? No, it doesn't make a difference. If de facto right now, you could have like urban sprawl could change it, right? If de facto right now that's the way it is, then that's how you mekayim it. Okay? Alright, I think that more or less covers it. Now, a lot of you are wondering, this year, after you finished feasting at your Rebbe's house or whatever, you stood at your Rebbe's house, you decide you want to visit your friends in Yerushalayim, what are the halachic ramifications if you go to Yerushalayim and you chayev Purim all over again? Okay? And the Gemara does say that a ben ir shahalach lekrach, right, takes on the chiyuvim of a ben krach. So what's the deal? So the halacha is like this. There are some poskim that understand that even if you did all your chiyuvim in Alon Shvut and you finished all the mitzvot, if you were to go in the evening any time before dawn on Friday, you would go to Yerushalayim, you would take on the din of the Ben Yerushalayim and you'd be chayev all over again. There are some posting that hold that. And if you want to be machmir for those shitot, you'd have to either A, make sure not to go at night, or alternatively, let's say, go at night but come back before dawn, come back to Alon Shvut. Or you would be, if you go at night, you mamish have to be makam Purim all over again. Meaning you'd be chayav to find a Megillah reading for the night and the morning and do the three other mitzvah. However, both Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital Zatzal were of the opinion, Rav Amital was following Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who's one of the Gedolim, the previous door, that once you were makayim the mitzvot on your dalid, the Gemara doesn't mean that you should be chayav a second time. Okay? And therefore, according to Rav, when people would ask Rav Amital Zatzal, he would say no, that once you makayim the mitzvot, you can't be chayav a second time. Rav Lichtenstein basically held the same thing. The only difference he said was, is that if you live in Yerushalayim, or even if your parents own an apartment in Yerushalayim, then it is possible that you could be chayav twice, because there is a Yerushalmi that says that if a person's oker dirato, which means he changes his residence between Yudalan and Tadvav, he's chayav l'kano l'kami, he's chayav a second time. And that could only happen if you literally move, or if your parents live in Yerushalayim and you go Thursday night to Yerushalayim, then you would have to be machmir in both directions. Yes, Ezra.
Are there any who would say to be machmir in like the opposite direction? Be like, isn't like
yes, theoretically it could work backwards. I don't have time not to work it out, but it could work backwards. No.
But like on Megillah, let's say, if you were already Mekayim Mitzvah and Yudalid,
I don't think you should make a bracha. I don't think you would be making your own bracha. Yeah.
If you miss Megillah reading on Yudalid here,
you cannot make it up on Tedvav. No. Yeah.
Can you make the bracha if you're the Balkar for Megillah? Can you make the bracha twice? Meaning.
If the person hearing it can't make his own bracha, I think otherwise I think it's better than somebody else makes a bracha. But yes, a Baal Kor could make the bracha twice. Yes.
Are there any other places in Israel that we may be likely to end up that have the steam of Yerushalayim with the wall?
Tveria, I don't know how they know Hagen Tveria. Not Efrat. I don't think any Jews live in Yericho. Hey, Rabbi Yameir. Yeah.
So this year, when we all go to Yerushalayim, whatever, on Friday, that's...
We're not all going to Yerushalayim.
As in, it's an Al-Shabbos.
So? Not everybody goes to Yerushalayim on an Al-Shabbos. You can go to Renana.
Yeah, you have to go...
You have to go through Yerushalayim. So? Yeah. Okay. Point?
So you don't have to hear it. If you go on Friday, everyone says it's okay. You don't have to hear it.
If you wake up outside of Yerushalayim, meaning in a lone shvut, dawn happens in a long shvut, and you're still in a long shvut, then there's l'choladeir, it's not an issue. Yes?
But if you travel through Yerushalayim at night...
Travel through?
Yeah.
It all depends on where you're going to be when dawn happens. Dawn is the critical moment. Okay. Yeah. Mikra Megillah. When you hear the Megillah, l'charchil, you should have kavanah to be yotzei. Yotze the brachos and biyotze the kriya, okay? And Valkari lecharchila has to have dat bimotzi you. You don't have to stand for Megillah. Some people stand just because it helps the concentration. They don't want to fall asleep. You know, they don't wait for three strikes, you're out. They start standing right away from the beginning. Okay? What if a person talks in the middle of Megillah? So if you talk, you're being mafsik for the bracha, which is a bad thing. But if you don't, if your talking didn't happen during the actual Mikra Megillah and you didn't disturb your hearing, so you yotze, because brachos are not ma'akev. But what if you talk during Megillah? Well, let's say the guy next to you gets into a coughing fit to the point where you can't hear the Baal Kore. If you miss even one letter, you're not yotze. So what do? The best thing to do is, if you missed a letter or missed a word, so you read the word from a chumash. Okay? You're allowed to be yotze up to 49% of your kriya Baal Peh. So you definitely could read it from a chumash, as long as 51% of your kriya is from a kosher Megillah. Okay, which is why there's really, unless you're a Baal Kore, there's no point in owning a Megillah, really. Okay? Because, again, you could read along in the chumash. The problem is that when you read that one word in the chumash, then you just missed another word that the Baal Kore said, because you read that word. So, of course, you read that word, and then you missed another word. And you slowly catch on that you're never going to win. Unless you speed up faster than the Baal Kore. In other words, you have to read quicker than the Baal Kore, so you get ahead of him, so then you can hear him when he continues reading, and that's really the best thing to do. doesn't make a difference. As long as you hear 51% from a kosher Megillah in a proper way, you're Yotze.
You have to actually hear it. You have to scan it with your eyes.
No, you have to hear it from him. You have to hear. No,
if you miss a word, can you read it in your mind? You have to actually.
No, you have to. You have to. You have to hear it. You have to hear it. Yes, Daniel.
So, let's say your shul has like a big kriya with a lot of kids. Should you go by the Rabban, like Hadrat Melech, or should you, like,
someone asked whether kids are included in the number. I don't know. What's the difference?
No,
it's disturbing. In other words, if you're choshesh, you're not going to be out to the mitzvah. For sure, you go somewhere else. Let's say in the big shul, there's a guy who's an Amoritz and he doesn't pronounce the words properly. So for sure, you should go somewhere else. You want to be Yotze, L'chol HaDeos, right? Okay. Let's get on to the mitzvah of Matanet Lev Yonim. It's a special mitzvah of giving tzedakah on Purim. Matanot Lev Yonim, Lashon Rabim, meaning you have to give more than one Evyon, you have to give at least two Evyonim, two poor people. Matanah, the minimum Matanah I would say is, I don't know, 2 shekel, 5 shekel. Shouldn't be an insulting amount of money. But you have to give it two Evyonim. Now, in Alon Shvut, it's a little challenging to find Evyonim. There are people that come around Yeshiva during Kriyat Megillah. There might be one or two. You could also give an amount, you can give some money directly to them. You could also give some of your money. I try to spread it out. Give some of my money I give to Rabbi Tarragon, who collects Evyonim and gives it out on Purim. The Magen Aram says it's better that they should receive it on their Purim. Okay? If you're choshesh that the ani that came to Alon Shvut, his Purim is really tomorrow in Yushalayim, so you try to spread it out and give it to other people. Okay, you could give it to some Israelis that are going to be traveling through the Tachanun Merkazit and maybe be able to give Evyonim on their way or something like that. Yes?
Isn't the mitzvah of tzedakah more on you than the ani? What is it relevant whether or not it's for him?
Because the mitzvah of Matanah of Yonim is not just a mitzvah of tzedakah. It's a mitzvah to make an aniim happy on Purim. The Sameach et Ani. It's kind of probably paralleled after the Regalim, where the Torah says you're supposed to be include the Aniyim and not just be Misameach yourself, but make everybody around you Misameach. You're not supposed to say no on Purim. Not literally not to say no, but if someone asks you for money, you're supposed to give them money. Yes?
Just in general, in relation to Tzedakah, if you're a kosher that the Ani that's asking you is not really an Ani, does that mafsid from your obligation to give him, or do you have an obligation to give certain people?
I would be makbid to try to give something to anybody who gives me, to ask me, just like you do on Purim. It's better to try to do that. By the way, if you're knowing, my seksafim, you shouldn't use my seksafim money from Matanat Levyonim. The minimum amount you should give extra on top of it. Yes.
So if I give to Rotagan, can I assume if I give whatever 10 shekels, can I assume that he goes?
That's
to
tricky.
People?
That's tricky. Unless he does it like that, and unless he's machaving to give
to split your money.
To split your money, then it would work. Otherwise, you should give it to different people. Yeah.
You said that you're supposed to give it to them on their Purim. Can I give it to somebody else who will give it to somebody?
Yes, you can make a shliach. Yes.
No.
No, it should be on their Purim.
You can give it to somebody on your Yudav.
No, it should be delivered on Purim to an ani lichatchila. That's what the Magen Avraham holds. Yes. Okay. All right. There's another interesting minhag called machatzit hashekel. Machatzit hashekel is zecher lemachatzit hashekel we used to give in the Migdash, as we saw in last week's parsha. And the minhag is to use coins that say on it half. In America, it'd be a half dollar. In England, it might be a half pound. And in Israel, it's a half shekel. And the minhag is to give 3 of these coins. Okay, and when do we give it? We give it basically by mincha time of Tanit Esther. The Magen Avraham says, Dafka lifnei kriyat Megillah. Sometimes there's an afkamina between those two shita, not this year. Okay, next mitzvah, Sudat Purim. The mitzvah of Sudat Purim, according to the Ramah, is in the daytime. Okay? The Ramah just mentions that a person could be marbeh at night as well. But the Iker Suda should be in the day. The Gemara mentions Chayav Inish LeBesumi BePuraya. A person is obligated to become drunk on Purim. Adelo Yoda Bein Orham and LeBaruch Mordechai. And this also is referring to the Suda. It's not a mitzvah to do it at night. and it's not a mitzvah to do it before you get to your suda. It's a mitzvah to do it at the suda. Okay? Now, what does it mean, chayv and shabsumi? So the Shulchan Aruch just quotes the Gemara word for word and leaves it at that. The Ramah says that a person should drink yoter mehergelo, more than he normally drinks. Okay? Right? If you drink more than you normally drink, according to the Ramah, you're mekayim libesumi. Just a minute. The Rambam says that a person should drink enough to make himself tired during the meal, to put his head down and fall asleep, and I imagine the Rambam felt that that was the best way of not, you know, ad lo yada ben baruch Mordechai or Haman. Yes, Zach?
Normal drink, like, I'm not saying normal drink, that like Shabbos on a weekday.
Anytime.
Anytime you drink or anytime?
Your normal drink. What does that mean? You mean your Sunday drink is different than your Shabbos drink?
A normal drink, when you drink?
When you drink, yes. A normal amount that you drink, when you drink. Okay? Now, since we're talking a little bit about drink, let me give you a little bit of warning. You don't want to get dressed drunk at night. You don't get drunk at night because it's going to ruin the rest of your Purim. Chances are you're going to miss Megillah the next morning, you're going to get to have a headache the next day, and it's going to ruin your Purim, and the two guys are going to be taking care of you. You don't want that to happen. Secondly, when you actually do drink, preferably at the Suda, okay, the next day, you should not be drinking whiskey, because when you drink whiskey, you get to a certain point where your judgment is completely clouded, and you think you're not drunk, but that's really the whiskey talking, and you want to be drunk, so you drink more than you planned on drinking, or that you should be drinking, and ultimately, you end up messing up your Ram's house, two guys have to waste their Purim, destroy their entire Purim just to take care of you. It's an ugly scene. You don't want to drink whiskey. Okay? If you should decide that you want to drink beer and your Ram allows beer, I don't allow beer in the house, but stick to only beer. Don't mix drinks. You know, stick to beer, you stick to wine. That's it. If you choose wine, you're better off drinking not sweet wine, because sweet wine can make some people extremely nauseous. Try not to drink on an empty stomach. Okay? And of course, don't drink and drive. Right? Okay. Yes? You can, but according to some understanding, it's the act of giving that's also important on Purim. You can do that if you have no other choice. Yes?
For the Rambam, how much would you say a kafir
shir is? To different people. And for the Rambam, it's whatever causes you to fall asleep at the meal. It doesn't mean that you pass out. It means you feel tired. You put your head down, you go to sleep. You have to be very, very careful. And obviously, I don't have to warn anybody in this yeshiva about being careful, but maybe you have friends in Yerushalayim that you're going to meet. You have to be very, very careful. There are a lot of accidents that happen. That happens on Purim. My brother, who's a surgeon in the emergency room, told me years ago that there was one yeshiva guy that his friends rolled in on a wheelchair, and my brother was in the middle of examining him, and his heart stopped. Yeshiva guy, young 18-year-old yeshiva guy, his heart stopped because of alcohol poisoning, meaning he just drank too much alcohol, and they, Baruch Hashem, were able to shock his heart back into running, and he's alive today. But had it happened a few minutes before they got to the hospital, the guy would be dead. You got to be very, very careful. Yeah.
Is the mitzvah of Adeloyada like part of the mitzvah of Suda? Like, if you're not Mekayim, can you still be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Suda?
Of course. Of course you can be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Suda. Of course you can.
You just get extra mitzvah.
I don't know what extra mitzvah you get. Look, the Rishonim that say it's also to get drunk. There's some Rosh Hashivas that say it's also to get drunk. You know, it can't be a ma'akev, you miss Purim, yeah.
Why do you say that the yeshiva has, if according to almost everything, there's no mitzvah at night? Why dock at night? Do they have
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not for it, but whatever. Okay. Next. Mishloach Manot. Okay, the last mitzvah we're going to discuss is Mishloach Manot. Mishloach manot ish le're'ehu is lashon singular, meaning ish le're'ehu. You chayev to give one friend if you have one, mishloach manot. And if you don't have one, so you find one. Or you make one through Mishloach Manot. If it's a nice enough Mishloach Manot, you'll make friends. Okay? You're not chayef to give a lot. Now, there are some people that are anti a lot of Mishloach Manot. They say, oh, it ruins my whole Purim. I have to set up a gazillion Mishloach Manot. I'll just give one and give tzedakah. The Rambam says that kol amar b'harei ze meshubach, that you shouldn't limit it only to one. In other words, the more you give out, the more the merrier, it's nicer. Okay? There's an interesting chakira. I'll get to that in a moment. There's some that say that when you give the Mishloach Manot, it has to be roi lenotein and roi lemakabel. Meaning, I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, I had a friend that on Purim, he took a peanut in a shell, and he squeezed out one end, and he replaced it with a raisin. And with having a raisin and a peanut, he would basically give out Mishloach Manot for as a raisin and a peanut. Now, there's some that hold that it has to be roi lenotein, roi lemakabel, meaning roi lenotein means if the person is dirt poor, so maybe he can get away with, you know, something really, really small. But roi lemakabel means if you're going to give it to someone who's mechubad, so it has to be roi for the person you're giving it to. You can't give a peanut and a raisin to your Rebbe. Okay? You can't, that's not enough.
Two peanuts, two raisins?
Or at least a bag. At least a bag. Yes.
You want
to understand the nature of it? I'll get to it in a moment. Give me a moment. I'll get to it. There are some that say, since it's called Mishloach Manot, that it has to be through a shliach. You don't give it directly, you give somebody else to give it. Okay? And if your chavrus is like mentally challenged, you could be a Godel Omer Al Gabov and tell him, give it to him. Right.
Is that how he paskin?
No. Now anyway, there's a chakira. What is the purpose of Mishloach Manot? What is the purpose? Is it to augment your friend's seuda, or is it Ishrayu to bring people closer together? Okay, it's a machlokas. The Trumas Adeshin seems to hold as a din in the seuda, while the Bach seemed to held that it was a din in Ishrayu. What are the nafka minot? Number one, what happens if you send somebody Mishloach Manot, okay, but for some reason you realize he's not going to get it on time, so you call him up and you say, listen, I sent you through a messenger Mishloach Manot, you might not get it on Purim, you'll get it afterwards. So if you hold that it's a din in Ish L'Rayehu, so maybe you could be Yotzi like that. If you hold it's a din in the Suda, it has to get there before the Suda. Another nafkamin would be, do you have to give food that would be eaten during the Suda? Okay? Should it be food for the Suda? Another nafkamina is, what if you get this like really nice basket of Mishloach Manot, you put it in front of somebody's door, you ring the bell, and you run away. Okay? The guy comes out and sees the basket, no card, he doesn't know who it's from. So if it's a kiyum in Ish L'Rayehu, you weren't Yotze Mishloach Manot. But if it was to help in with a Suda, you helped with a Suda, so you're Yotze. Just a moment. Or another nafkamina. What if you're in Yushalayim, you're already Makayim your Purim, and your friend from, I don't know, Yeshivat
Hakotel,
let's say, wants to give you Mishloach Manot to be Makayim his mitzvah. So if it's a din in the Suda, you can, because you already finished your Suda. But if it's Ish L'Rayehu, so it would be a Kiyum. Questions? Yes, Daniel. You could pool money together as long as each person has at least a kazayit of each. Now, I didn't mention clearly. Manot requires two different foods. Two different foods, okay? Some say you should be two different brachot. It doesn't really, but two different foods. So if you pool together, there has to be a kazayit at least of each food, or of a food from individual people. Okay? Yeah. So that's a machloket. Some say yes, some say no. According to most dayot, if it's not water, then your yotze would drink. Yes. It has to also be ready to eat. You can't send like a pound of raw chopped meat in Mishloach Manot. It has to be ready to eat, unless your friend eats raw chopped meat, right? Yes.
So, what if the two foods are essentially the same source?
So cooking and cake mikra din is okay. There's some that are makbid that should be two different brachot. Yes.
And I'm going to receive a mishlachon from my aunt and uncle sometime around tomorrow. Should I be careful not to be kona it until Purim? Or
don't open till Purim. Don't be kona till Purim.
Should I have a friend of mine pick it up, or should I, or can you be kind of a mitzvah before Purim?
I mean, it's their mitzvah.
Right. Well, so will I be?
Would you be helping them?
Should I not?
I don't know whether I don't think you could be makai mishloach manot by sending it before. It's just a nice thought that your aunt and uncle love you, or they care about you. But it's not. It can't be makai if you send it before Purim, unless you gave it to a shliach and said, please give it to him on Purim, shliach shalom kamoso. But if you mailed it to somebody before Purim, I don't think you can do that. Any other questions? Yes, Zach. What? Yes. What? I said about 2 shekel, maybe 5 shekel. No, I don't think you have to buy the person's suit. Yeah. No. Sorry. Yes.
Is it allowed to? Are you allowed to be over mitzvahs? I don't know. Are you allowed to,
You're allowed to dress up as a woman on Purim because you're not dressing up in order to mix with women or look like women. You're just being trying to be mesameach. That's what the Ramah paskens. Yes.
Could Rabbi talk about hamantashen?
Ooh, I love hamantashen. I like the triangular ones. I like the chocolate filled ones. I like the ones with like the sprinkled sugar on top of it. What do you mean?
Is there any like
halachot hilchot hamantashen? If it's more than a kazayis, you have to make an alamichya on it. What? What? Hamantashen to Purim? Of course, what do you mean?
Is there any kiyum, I think he's saying?
Is it like Sufganiyon and Hanukkah? Why do we eat Hamantashen on Purim? Is that what you want to know? What?
Yes.
Of course they're, no. Of course your mother makes them and they're yummy. No? You want to know like a Kabbalistic sod, like what's the sod behind it?
It's Kabbalistic.
It is Kabbalistic. I don't know what I could tell you. I would have to kill you all. But I heard, wait, shut the recorders.
I don't know how to turn any of these off.
I heard that it might have